You know, we do. I just marvel and rejoice in the sweet fellowship that we have with one another. And more and more, I sense that we are fellowshipping in truly, truly fellowshipping in the Spirit with one another. I thought you were making a comment of something. Let the little voices in your head go. Oh my. Praise the Lord. We are blessed. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for how you have revealed yourself this morning. Lord, you are with us. You are always with us. You have promised that you are with us. And Lord, we remind one another of that, and I rejoice in that. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon us and your love is upon us. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to see and to know more by your Spirit and through your loving kindness toward us. We praise you and thank you in your precious name. Amen. As we have been, as the Lord has been leading us and speaking to us in various ways, and how we have prayed and things that the Lord has opened up to us, things that the Spirit has put his highlighter on, in my heart anyway, that I've tried to share. I really appreciate what our brother Phil shared. I listened to it, wasn't here for the second part, but I listened to it, and the Spirit did not diminish it by having to hear it later and as a recording. But the authority that the Lord has and how he displays his power and confirms his work is an exercise in his authority. And what I want to speak on this morning comes from, was prompted by the prayers of Paul. Can you imagine that? That I have been spending so much time considering and meditating on. Things in there that I know the Lord wants to speak about, what the Lord wants us to hear about and understand, that I have had no clue as to how to bring them out, and he just suddenly something comes up. And so Brother Charles really pushed me into the place of stumbling over this in the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. He was speaking out of John 14. And that caused me to look at it, and there's just a tremendous amount of spiritual weight and value in this chapter and in the chapters that follow. And I've already spoken on some of it, and I'm going to read verses that I have read recently before you in speaking about the name of Jesus, the name of God, and what that means, and how the Lord, we need to be able to pray in his name. Let me just read again. I'm going to begin in verse 8, and I may go back and read some of the earlier verses later. But in chapter 8, the circumstances are that the Lord is speaking and opening up his heart and speaking final things to his disciples. 14 verse 8. Sorry. I apologize. Sorry. So chapter 14, verse 8. The Lord is speaking to the assembled disciples, soon to be apostles, and he is assuring them and revealing things to them that they need to know. that they don't understand right now, but they need to know. And consequently, these are things that we need to know. It's the word of the Lord. And it is spoken with power and authority. So Philip says in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live. Because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father and you in me. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Lord, we do ask for your insight. We ask, Lord, by your Spirit that you would guide us. Oh, Holy Spirit, Lord, open our eyes to the things of your word and the truth of your life and the truth of your heart toward us. Help us, Lord, to see the things that we need to see and that you want us to see and that you want us to experience and to walk in as part of our life, Lord, that we would no longer be men of this earth, people of this earth. We would be spiritual beings seated in heavenly places, living according to your word and your life. In your name I pray, Lord. Amen. A couple of things about this section of Scripture. The Lord Jesus is revealing things that are very, well, impossible to understand in the mind. We can sort of sort them out. We can do study about them and apply logic and look at, well, this ties to that and so forth and so on. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. We need revelation. Understand, and I have to apologize for cutting this apart because it is not intended to be cut apart, and I try not to. It's really a matter of what the Lord has revealed about this section of Scripture to me, and hopefully being able to communicate to you an aspect of this. But it is not aspects. It is not pieces that can be cut out and studied by themselves as sterile elements that are separable. This is a whole. This is the Lord Jesus revealing himself. And so you can't just take out a part of it and have an understanding. You need to understand that this is the Lord Jesus speaking and revealing himself. And he wants us to understand him. He doesn't want us to understand prayer. He doesn't want us to understand his name. He wants us to understand him. And in all those things, all these things, he brings it together, that we may know, and that we don't have to live by, oh yeah, I got to remember that, and I need to do this, and you know what the Lord says about this, I want to do. You know, we struggle in that, and because it's impossible, we can't do it. We have to have the love of Christ. We have to have his life in us, and in that, all things are possible. All things come together in him, in us. And so please don't try to, I want you to see an aspect of the Lord Jesus out of this. But it's not just an aspect. It's not something that you can divide. It's a whole. Okay? And I say all that and I truly believe that these prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for the churches are exactly on that line. He is not talking, he never prays for something that is just a specific need or issue for that fellowship. He's praying for an entire understanding of who he is, praying for an understanding of spiritual life, and to have spiritual knowledge, and to have these things that he has wanted us to have from the beginning. It's what Adam and Eve had the opportunity to enter into, but didn't, by taking the route of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They got stuck in where we are, and they, you know, cutting it apart and saying, well, has God, you know, or did God? No. He wanted them just to know him and to walk with him and to love him and to eat the fruit of his life, that they could live forever with him. And they missed it. And so here we are. And he has redeemed us. He has redeemed us to that life. He has not redeemed us just to say, okay, now I'm going to set you on the shelf and I want you to wait until it's time. No, we can live and know this now. And that's what the apostle was praying for. He was praying that they would hold on to that which was that the Lord had breathed life into them for. That they would be together and that they would understand things that men cannot understand. Science cannot explain that nothing of the ways of mankind can prepare us for or bring us into. They can only frustrate us. Now, I spoke, as I told you, hopefully you remember, about the name of the Lord Jesus and asking in his name that the Father would be glorified. You know, that's part of that. I don't mean to get sidetracked already, but we pray in his name that he be glorified. Okay, so I tried to talk about his name and praying in his name and what that means, but there's a bigger purpose, that he be glorified. That's the thing, that he's going to be glorified, that the Father is going to be glorified in our life. That's what he's seeking. That's what this is about. And so what the Lord stirred up in me, and I saw it here, and then I went back and I looked in the prayer and remembered that in the prayer it's there. In verse 15, chapter 14, verse 15, the Lord Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." And I'm going to skip down now to 21. "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. What I want to talk about is the tiny little subject of the love of the Lord Jesus. Now, it's obvious. I can only just touch a little piece of this, a little aspect of this. But the thing that struck me, just like in praying for anything in Jesus' name, and he will do it, you know, my understanding for years and years and years, just all it was a frustration. So I just tried to set it aside every chance, every time it came up, I tried to set it aside and say, you know, I don't understand that. I don't know how to do that. I can't, that there was no revelation. Well, here's another one. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, my unspiritual mind says, okay, I got to keep your commandments. I can't do what he wants me to do. And yet the Lord has said this. What does he mean? What does he want us to see? And it's a good thing that Paul was praying for me, praying for us. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, he's praying for us, he's praying for, I'll just read the whole prayer, it's fine. Chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, how big is that? To be strengthened with the power through his Spirit, strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, that we may, in verse 18, that we may comprehend with all the saints, with the church, the gathering, the assembly at Ephesus, and all the saints of God, that we may know and comprehend, we may comprehend everything that we see, and how he sees it, and how he measures it. The length, the breadth, the width, the depth. That we may know all of that. And I have to see that as equally important, how can you rate importance in God? But extremely important to know, beyond knowledge, to know the love of God. Beyond just knowledge, beyond just measurement, beyond just seeing the things that are in the Word, beyond just seeing the things that are necessary for life, that we may know, experience the love of Christ. Which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. How big is that? The Lord is trying to reveal this to us, brothers and sisters. He's revealed so much to me, I just, the wonder. It is amazing what the Lord has done and what he wants us to see. And so then with that as a stepping stone to this verse, if you love me and you will keep my commandments. And then in verse 21, this back in John 14 now, in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Well, you know, I can see our dilemma. I know my dilemma has been this: he has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Well, my perspective on that is wrong. My perspective is an earthly perspective, which means do the stuff and get the prize. Right? You work 40 hours a week and you get a paycheck. If you're a good boy, you get Christmas presents. You know, that's my earthly perspective. But the fact is, it's wrong. It's reversed. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me. Now, that's easy. Well, it is, and it isn't. It's what Paul is praying for here, that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us the love of Christ. And this isn't just... Let me stop for a second, and I don't want to go down there exactly. The love of Christ. The love of Christ is not a thing that can be parsed, divided into pieces. It's a whole. And it's not just his love for me. It's my love for him. It's the love that we all have that flows out of God, that comes from his life in us. He has done the work that is necessary that we can enter into this, that we can participate. He wants us, he desires for us. He gave Paul the wisdom to pray these prayers because he wants us to enter into this. He wants us to know this, and he wants us to know it without trying to accomplish it, because we can't. If we try, we're doing it by our own strength, and there is nothing there for it. There's no spiritual life there. The life that we have has to flow out of him, from him, through us. And that's how we have to know the love of Christ. That's how we have to enter into the love of Christ. You know, I want to love him because he's done so much for me. Well, that's an earthly kind of love, isn't it? You know, I like you because you're a nice person. I like you, you know, I fell in love with Diane because, you know, from an earthly perspective. The Lord has changed that, has touched it. But, you know, it was because we fit together. You know, the things that we saw, the things that we did, I liked that. I wanted to be with that. She was nice to me. I wanted to be nice to her. But that's an earthly kind of thing. And I've tried to love God because of what he's done for me, and I can't. I can't really. Because I keep tripping over stuff. I get stuck. I find myself not loving the brethren, you know, not having the heart of Christ, being like James and John wanting to call down fire out of heaven. And so he wants us to know him. He wants us to enter into this love that he has. You know, I think about and if you ask most believers, if you ask, let me say it this way. When I was saved, I was part of a Presbyterian church that for a brief flash of time had a touch of the Holy Spirit within them, and they, before too long, pulled their head back into the shell and walked away from it. That's my judgment. I apologize. I shouldn't say that. But the fact of the matter is, one of the things was, if you want to know about the love of Christ, where is it? You know, is there a place? It's you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love of God. And we use that and we apply it in lots of many ways. And the problem that we have there is that Paul's very revealing in sharing that. He talks a lot about the things that I haven't studied this, so I'm not speaking from fresh knowledge, but what the apostle is sharing is what it looks like, the things that exist in the love of in God's love, you know. And the problem that I have had is, all right, so now I have to emulate that, right? And you know, many times the 1 Corinthians 13 is read at weddings. Well, it's not just for weddings. You know, it's not just about the love between a man and a woman. The love between a man and a woman is a marvelous picture that God has given us. But the fact is, we can't do 1 Corinthians 13. You just can't. You know, to never hold a grudge. To not, you know, even to be reminded of something when somebody comes back and, you know, sticks it to you again. It, you know, we can't do it. We have to trust in the Lord Jesus. We have to trust that He is going to accomplish this, that He is doing this, and He is. He is opening these things up to us. He is, I'm just speaking for myself and what I'm hearing and what's coming forth as we seek the Lord together. He is opening up the pathways for His life to flow, and it's coming out in understanding and knowing the love of Christ. We are praying for these things. We are seeking these things. And the Lord wants to reveal. We are asking things that are in His name. Huge things. Impossible things for man. We can't know the length and height and breadth of everything. He does, and He wants us to share it with us. And He wants us to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. It does. It's the relationship with Him through which, from that, all these other things will flow, and they will come appropriately. And they will be developed by Him. Paul made a reference today about a conversation he had with the headmaster or the principal, whatever, at the Bible college that he was in. And, you know, he was saying how these, well, can you give me the words again?
The Lord might not completely deliver me from that.
Yeah.
Because it would keep bringing me back to Him.
There was something, you know, that was troubling in Paul's heart. And the Lord might not completely deliver him. That is not earthly love. Earthly love wants us to be delivered from everything. Wants us to be not have any troubles at the level of earth. As far as we can see, at the level that we can see. But the fact is that Paul certainly knew. Paul, he has come to know, but the Apostle Paul also knew. He asked for this thorn to be removed. And he called it a thorn. And I'm no doubt the things that were troubling Paul, that trouble me, that trouble you, are like a thorn. You just can't get rid of them. They are there. They are, you know, a thorn can just work. You know, it's not just something. Anyway, thorns are not pleasant things. And we want to be pleasant. That's what our flesh wants. Our flesh wants things to be pleasant. I don't want to have these problems. I don't want my mom to fail. But she is. And I don't understand it. I don't understand why the Lord just doesn't take her home. But the Lord is revealing himself in my heart that I can trust him for these things. Amen. For all these things. Amen. You know, and what riches Paul writes of that he received because of that thorn. What riches we receive because of these thorns. Because of these things that trouble us. We get to know what the Lord is doing. He wants us to know. And going back to what Phil shared about the authority of God, these prayers have the authority of God behind them. They are based upon a man standing on the rock, praying with God's heart for the people of God, praying for the glory of God to be able to come forth in the people of God. Praying for the people of God to be able to see and understand what was going on in the inner man, to know and not to be frustrated or concerned, but to experience spiritual life. You know, he's saying, come with me, experience this, be with the Lord Jesus. Let's go together. Let him have his way. And he ends that section of prayer in Ephesians. If you want to turn there again, Ephesians 3. He ends that section with verse 20. Now to him. He's still praying. I stopped reading at verse 19. But he's still praying. And in verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly. Words run out. Best we can come up with here, Paul could come up with, is exceedingly abundantly. I don't know how far beyond exceedingly abundantly the Lord goes, but it's way beyond. It's infinitely beyond. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Everything that you want, everything that is of value in your life, of true spiritual value, he wants you to ask for and to have. According to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. The power of God as unleashed in this prayer to fill us to all fullness, to perform things that we cannot understand, that even though you don't understand what I'm saying right now, he can cause it to be filled up in you. He can bring it to you just as you need it. Not as it came to me, but as you need it. And it is united. It is not of, it's not, it can't be separated. It's all of a piece. It's all of what he is doing in all of mankind, in all of his, those who believe and those who will believe and those who have believed. Love him. Let him love us. And you know, the Lord Jesus has just displayed this very love in this same chapter here. And I want to close with this. Actually beginning in John 13. In John 13, they've been talking about, what's going to happen and how the Lord is just starting to reveal all this to them. And Simon Peter says to him, verse 36 of 13, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow later. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. And he tried. He really did. And Jesus answered and said, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, a cock shall not crow until you deny me three times. How we hear the Lord Jesus say that could be very frustrating to us. That Peter, despite his best efforts, cannot love Jesus the way he needs to. And you're going to deny me. I know it. That's not how he said it. That's not the heart of the Lord. The heart of the Lord is, I know what's going to happen. And I love you anyway. Because, and I say this with the authority of the next verse. Let not your heart be troubled by this stuff. It's going to happen, Peter. I'm not sorry for it. It's necessary. It will happen. You'll make mistakes. You're going to do things that you wish you hadn't done. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe what I'm telling you. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. He wasn't rejecting Peter. He wasn't judging him for failing. He knew in advance he would fail. He knows in advance I'm going to fail. And yet, he is with us. He is going to prepare a place for us, a place beyond all this stuff, where we can live and breathe his life in peace and harmony with him and with all our brothers and sisters, with all who love him, with all who care for him, all who have believed in him. And he's doing it because he loves us. And he's doing it because he has the power to do it. This isn't just wishful thinking, and I hope so. He has the authority. He has the authority. Just as Elijah was able to confirm his authority by calling down fire from heaven to destroy the 50 soldiers that came to bring in the king. Just as he recognized the spirit that James and John were in, calling down the same fire. Just as the fire of the Spirit came and rested upon all the believers on the day of Pentecost. He has the authority to do this. He has the power to do this. He is fulfilling this, and he's doing it because he wants us to know, and he wants us to be transformed. He wants us to be like him, that we may glorify God, because this is who God is. He wants him to be shown. He wants God the Father to be seen. And he is glorified in our willingness and our obedience that comes from his power acting within us. Not by our mistakes. He's not put off by the things that fail him. He will make all things new. He will redeem all things. Lord, we do want to know your love. We do want to know your life within us, the power within us, that we might do the things that you would do, have us do, that we might be able to do these things and know that we're doing them in your power and strength and not our own. Lord, we want to live according to your spirit, according to your life, according to your love. We want to give you glory. We want to see your face. We want to know you, Lord. We wait anxiously for your coming, for your cleansing of the earth and bringing all things back in, for cleansing things that there might be a new heaven and a new earth, just as you desire it to be. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and care for us. And you want us to see these things. Praise your holy name. Glory be unto you. Amen.